Hello, folks. Welcome back to Inner and Outer Reality. In reality and outside, as always, I'm your host, Sean Penalver. And today with us, we have...
Bryce Levi Perkins.
So, Bryce, let's get into the broad questions.
Tight.
What do you think is the meaning of life? Or a meaning of life? Because I think there are almost an infinite amount.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I actually had on that song, the Without Knowing song that we talked about on the last podcast, I actually asked my friends to, like, give me theirs, responses to that very question as well, and I put it at the end of the track, like, kind of going, like, you know, Pink Floyd style or whatever. And, you know... I found a lot of meaning in that.
Yeah.
Like getting their
yeah.
perspectives. I'll put it that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I completely agree.
I think that's like the only way I could really answer that.
It is, as I would put it, like we are just a fraction of, and so you need all of the perspective to understand the entire thing, or at least like approach a thing, you know, like a higher understanding. Because like if you're only going off of your biases and understanding, then you only know your understanding.
Right.
And it's not until you open yourself up to anything outside of yourself that you finally start to like be like, oh, wow, I didn't even think of that, you know,
yeah.
or I didn't even see that.
Exactly.
And that's how we all grow. And I think that, like, that is how we attribute ourselves to the entirety of existence. By doing that, we are... every time we expand ourselves, we are expanding reality.
Yeah.
Kind of like as if reality were this giant computer and we are data feeding into that computer.
Yeah.
And
we're back to the database.
Yeah. And we're basically making it smarter and stronger. So it now knows what it is like to experience existence as us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So before the Big Bang happened, or however the universe started,
right.
you know, and all that time has passed, and here we are in this moment,
yeah.
experiencing it
yep.
as these atoms put together.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just insane.
I will say on top of that that like the more like I've thought about that and like looked up. Or, like, sought, like, outer wisdom on that kind of subject or whatever, the more I've kind of come to the acceptance of the idea that, like, even if a person isn't doing that at all, like, even if a person is only experiencing things from just their perspective and they just have no ability or no desire to experience it from any other perspective, that's still good,
yes,
too, you 100%. Know? And, like, that's just as much a part of it as anything
else,
right?
And not just a person, like... Your fence,
mm-hmm.
right here.
Mm-hmm.
It is still... It knows now, or the universe knows now what this fence is like to be right here.
Right.
And every atom and molecule, and whatever makes up those atoms and molecules, Leibniz would say monads, I would say funk. You know.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
They know now what it is like to be.
Dude, I had a really cool... Well, it was cool to me anyway, thought about that very thing. About, like... the observance of like the fence and everything, and like now the fence, you know that it's there or whatever, and it knows what it's like to be there, and its particles are all made up of the same thing we're made up
yeah.
of, right? And you like when people talk about the idea of eternity and or I guess heaven, right? Mm-hmm. Where like heaven is eternal and everything exists at once, and everything is all like one thing in harmony, right? Like so, like say you had the ability, or you had reached some higher level of consciousness to where you were able to attain that, right? Where to where literally you exist in a dimension where you can literally have everything all at once, or or should I say like. anything you do want, it'll be right there instantly.
Yeah.
That is to say, like, everything is moving at such a fast frequency that that it's all there together, right?
Yeah.
You, while it would be awesome to have that ability and that perspective, and it would be godly, right? I guess that would be omnipresence and omniscience, right?
Yeah. And omnipotence.
If, in order for that to be the case, things would have to vibrate at such a high and fast frequency to kind of all be there. This is just an idea. I mean, I don't know any of this. I'm not saying that I know any of this. So, this is just what I'm thinking.
Expand into that.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of like, let's say, again, let's go back to the theoretical Big Bang. The Big Bang happens. There's this flash, you know, and then everything is kind of like exploded out of there and starts forming, and then millions to eons of years go by, you know, like an infinite amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
And then it brings us to everything kind of grows and expands and evolves into this point where we're at. And then let's go even further. So, like, it continues. And then let's say the universe theoretically goes back to where, like, everything sucks back in. Matter and energy entropies and decays into, like, literally, or, like, let's say a half-life. Because even though energy is always just transferring itself, mm-hmm. and so most likely the universe will continue theoretically forever.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that it does half-life all the way down to where, like, essentially there's so much energy compacting to itself that it causes another Big Bang, the next
one, right?
It all just, like, squeezes back into mm-hmm. itself. Those two flashes, if you put them next to each other, even though we experience time on a much smaller level,
mm-hmm.
those two flashes, or even the presence of quote-unquote God,
mm-hmm.
would see that instantaneously, like a camera flash.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
right.
that would be the entire right. existence of all of that universe
yeah.
in that one flash.
Right, you know? Right, right.
And so, to be able to just, like, kind of think and pinpoint any of those things, locations, in that flash, is like, again, like, let's say you slow down a camera flash, like, to, like, beyond microscopic speeds,
exactly.
and you see this entire lifespan
exactly.
within it, that is what we are
yeah.
within.
Yeah, and that was exactly what I was going to say. I was standing out here, like, just looking at the tree, you know, having a cig and unwinding, and was thinking that, like, that very thing, like, everything all at once is like a moment.
Yeah.
But in order to actually get to see what everything is, while everything is all at once and you do know that everything is there, in order to actually understand it and see it, you'd have to slow that vibration down to a speed of...
the speed of now.
Now, which is the way we perceive time.
Yes.
You know, which is just literally a slower frequency.
Yeah.
Which is a lower vibration.
Yeah.
And we are... so that it slows down, and then now we can go, oh, that's what a tree is?
Yeah.
And we can touch it.
Yeah.
We can smell its leaves or whatever. We can climb it. We can chop it down, make something else out of it.
Yeah.
And you can't do that while you are doing that, the experience isn't happening unless that flash is slowed down.
Yeah. When you're
into
existing
moments.
In the moment of timelessness.
Exactly.
When,
right.
And so
that's the ash.
If you're experiencing timelessness, then you're watching time just go by. You
yeah.
know, like, instantaneously.
Right.
But we are experiencing time.
And we're so, yeah. experiencing the movement of time
yes.
as we perceive it.
Yeah. yeah.
Or as can be perceived, can only be perceived by us.
Yeah.
Or as is perceived by us, maybe.
And so, yeah, like, that concept is mind-blowing to some people. Some people mm. can't even comprehend that.
Right.
And that leads into,
or
like...
or maybe just don't even want to.
That,
at,
right
at
there.
At the heart of it, you know?
A lot of the philosophy that I've been getting into... I've been listening to a podcast called Philosophize This, and I highly recommend it.
I've heard of it.
I recommend it to... I'll probably be talking about it a lot on the next coming episodes. I know I've already mentioned it on the last two.
Okay.
About the human desire to take the path of least resistance.
Right.
And then on the way here, I was listening to an episode of about Kierkegaard and what freedom is,
mm-hmm.
and that anxiety is essentially the result of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're absolutely free to make a decision,
mm.
then you don't know what to do.
Yeah,
you know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
But most people, especially in current modern society,
mm.
don't make their own decisions.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of led to make a decision by their surroundings or what they're influenced by or
yeah.
the things that they live vicariously through.
The external, yeah.
Yeah. And so, again, back to would people even want to comprehend this or could they? Again, that is the path of least resistance. And so, like, these broad topics to some people anger them or go against what they believe so much that they're mm-hmm. just like, nope, I don't believe that. I don't want mm-hmm. to believe that.
Especially when you get the, like, emotion that's attached to religious dogma and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and yeah, there's a certain comfort in being told that things are one way and not having to think about it
yeah.
outside of that.
And that leads into what Marx was talking about, Karl Marx,
mm.
and that religion is essentially, so like, in every society, there has been the divide of two classes, right?
Mm.
The royalty and the people mm. that they take advantage of.
Sure, yeah.
And
yeah.
that's in every society that we've known about in mm-hmm. humanity, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I just lost my train of thought.
Well, the being...
Religion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, essentially, religion is the thing that completes that divide. And it evolves to complete that divide. Because it basically, what religion does and what it evolves to do to people is make them content with being taken advantage of.
Mm.
They're like, oh, it's okay for me to be poor. It's okay for me to be taken mm-hmm. advantage of because
mm-hmm.
It's not what matters in this life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm preparing for the next afterlife.
Mm.
But really, it's kind of the opposite.
Mm.
And that's what I would argue that God wants us is the philosophical God, not the religious God.
Yeah, right, right, right.
The metaphysical God of this experience, again, what I call funk.
Mm-hmm.
wants us to be here and be present
mm-hmm.
and be in those moments, you know, rather than just being like, oh, I have to give it to the universe and let the universe decide. Because mm-hmm. again, that is not, that is your choice, but is that freedom?
Mm-hmm.
Because you are, again, you're giving it to the universe to decide for you.
Mm-hmm.
You are not deciding for yourself, even though you are deciding
mm-hmm.
for the universe to give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, you're kind of just, again, taking the path of least resistance.
Mm.
And so, especially with Christianity, like, every church has kind of constructed itself to distract the lower, quote-unquote, antithesis of the people being taken advantage of from overtaking the thesis. Because even in these events of, like, let's go back to the feudal systems, like medieval times, every society, like, will go through a similar thing where it's like, eventually the people who are being taken advantage of will get tired of it.
Yeah.
And they'll overthrow the system,
mm-hmm.
leading to a synthesis of, like, change, right?
Mm-hmm.
But even in that change, it still eventually divides itself again.
Right.
And so, like, that's where philosophy comes so important of, like, how do we escape that? And we don't know yet,
mm-hmm.
because we're still within it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, there's always the question of, like, let's say our current society is able to raise up to the same level. Like, let's just argue living wages and universal healthcare and free schooling and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we all had all these things, eventually there's going to be the people who have the higher privilege to do more than that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just going to become, again, that divide.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, is that an issue? Is that a problem? But also, that's just that argument that I just made is mm-hmm. also a fallacy, because we don't mm-hmm. know what would happen mm-hmm. if we did those things.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't really argue against it
mm-hmm.
in a way.
Something that, like, stands out to me about that idea of, like, the continuous cycle of, you know, separation and, like, war or one class having and the other class not having, then coming back together to finally a point of synthesis and then redividing again, just makes me personally think about how much it has to do with the way we treat each other, and how much that is sort of based in the idea that we are separate from one another.
And I would agree, yes and no.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you and I, we're individuals.
Sure.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Like, you live your own life, you have your own thoughts.
Right.
I live my own life, I have my own thoughts. But then again, just like we were talking about, this fence and everything is the same construction of, again, funk,
mm-hmm.
what I would call funk.
Yeah.
And so, in that sense, we are the same.
Yeah.
And so, even though we are separate,
mm-hmm.
we are still the same greater entity.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's what I kind of would describe as my understanding of God.
Yeah.
But that's why I call it funk, because God has such a negative acquired connotation.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So, like, if you try to argue, like, this is what God is, then someone who hates God completely, like an atheist, is just
mm-hmm.
going to instantly shut that down
mm-hmm.
because of their acquired understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where, like, the idea of funk comes in, because it's, like, it's outside of that, but it also isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because every understanding of God is just a creation of funk.
Mm.
Same as, like, monads are just, like, the individual units of what atoms would be. Funk would just be, monads are funk.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just kind of a all-encompassing everything is that,
mm-hmm.
in a way.
I call it, or I self-identify it as a source,
which is
like a common...
That is a common name thing.
Terminology,
yeah.
But, like, you know, I think, anyway, or it seems to resonate with me that... you can think of it in like terms of light, meaning like each of our individual selves in terms of light. Like, and this is like not my own thought or anything, and there's nothing original what I'm saying or anything. It's just what I'm like am currently on, I guess.
Uh-huh.
But like, if you you know, take a light bulb or any source of light, and it's, you know, just shining in a room, and it's going everywhere, and then you walk in and you put your hand in front of the light that's hitting one of the walls, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Your hand blocks the light from being seen beyond the space of the hand, right?
And casts a shadow.
And casts a shadow. But it doesn't stop the light source from being.
Yeah.
And the light that is being blocked does not also stop. It's refracted, or
yeah,
it's stayed there. But it doesn't stop. It's redirected. And I kind of, where I'm at right now, and what I've been thinking a lot about, is just kind of that idea of us as individuals. Yes, individual rays of light, but all from the same source of light.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Just refracted.
Yeah.
And hence why we're different.
Yeah.
You know? And that kind of thing.
And there's also the opposite of that.
Mm-hmm.
Darkness. Or
yeah,
the absence of
yeah,
light.
Yep. You know? Exactly.
And
yeah.
So, like, we are all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the things that have constructed us since the beginning of time.
Which, like, would be the space we live in.
Yeah.
And wow, that's fucking crazy. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, it is
the
just...
The darkness is the space... sorry.
Yeah, and again, let's go back to atoms.
Mm-hmm.
Atoms are 99% space.
Yeah.
Like, electrons
right.
are miles... Like, if you were to expand an atom to the size of, you know, like, life size, I
mm-hmm.
guess, atoms, the electrons are miles away from their center.
Yeah, that's
and
crazy.
That's insane.
That's fucking nuts, man. Dude, I love, like... Because, like, I don't know, I've always been sort of, like, a spiritually interested person, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The whole, like, what does it all mean and everything kind of stuff. And I went through, like, a normal path, like, growing up of, like, okay, you know, you go to church and you learn about Jesus and the God and, you know, all that stuff. But, you know, then you go down the path of questioning everything about that, right?
Yes.
And then you really blow it up. And then the more and more you start questioning that, I guess if like the journey is, you know, is coming from a spiritual place, which is where I am at, there's a lot of people that like stick straight to science, that are like, I just want logic and rationale and or rationality, and I just want to be able to understand everything as logically and rationally as humanly possible, and that's it. All I want is the cold hard facts of what I can prove and what I can not prove, and that's it. I don't care about like what's beyond that,
yeah.
You know. But like for me, I've going down the science rabbit hole and everything always leads me back to the spiritual.
I think they go hand in hand.
Yeah, dude. I know. I just love that. I think that that's fucking super awesome to be able to, like, think of, you know, open your mind to you know, a reality beyond anything that you can comprehend as a human being. But then go and look at everything you can comprehend as a human being, and then see where it all kind of fits together, yeah, as a puzzle piece is just really neat to me, man.
Finding the links.
Yeah.
And I think that, like,
There's like a lot of famous, I mean, Einstein was kind of like that, right? Yeah. Tesla was like that.
Yeah.
Tesla was like that, right? You know? So, I mean, it's not like unfounded. I just think it's really cool.
And what's incredible is that, like, as time progresses, we are able to look back at everything that has happened before us and use that,
yeah,
as evidence and as, yeah, knowledge. And you can find the patterns. And again, that's where I'm trying to, like, get at with funk, is that, like, I have kind of been exposed to these patterns, and I'm trying to help others see those patterns that, mm-hmm, like, are there in almost everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, like, as far as collective consciousness goes, just by doing these things, it all evolves even faster. You know, like, universally and interconnectedly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because there are, like, it's like the common phenomenon of, like, a person has an idea on one side of the world. Mm-hmm. Like, let's say they come up with an invention and they make it, and so, and at the same time, someone on the other side of the world is doing the same thing.
Yeah, right.
And they've never met. No one, yeah, you know, it's just like these things happen.
Yeah.
And if those coincidences on a world scale,
mm-hmm,
happen that often,
yeah,
think of it on a universal scale.
Yeah, right.
But additionally, like, even further, just like the daily coincidences of our life and again, going back to funk, if we are all constructed from funk and everything around us, there should be a way, theoretically, that we could predict what is happening or connect into it. You know what I mean? And using technology and also just, like, evolution, us moving forward through time, mm-hmm, I think we're getting closer to that.
See, that kind of stuff also makes me personally, once again, look within. Because I you're talking about the ability to just predict how everything will happen? Is that what you were...
Yes and no.
Okay.
I don't think you'll be able to predict exactly 100%, because, again, the knowing or being able to predict what would happen would change events. Just like the,
yeah,
double slit theory.
Sure,
just
sure,
by,
sure,
observing an event, you,
yeah,
affect it.
Right.
But go on in your
so thoughts. So, like, and this is another thing I was thinking about kind of recently, and I just came to this just now, and I understand that I could be totally behind on this, so, like, stop me if you heard this one before, but, like, in regards to time and, like, what the ability for a human being to predict the future, I sort of, like, shifted my perspective on how I think about time. From my perspective, from my, like, human perspective, you know what I mean?
Humanist perspective.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because, you know, just with, like, the basic thought of, like, everything, like, what we call the present is what we are currently experiencing, right?
Yeah.
But as soon as you experience it, it's already in the past.
Yes.
So just by that basic thought alone, then what we perceive as the present in what you might call a quote-unquote reality is actually the past.
Yes.
And therefore, the future is actually true present within,
yes,
that reality.
We are
so
moving through the present
and
the future.
Exactly. And hence, like, when it comes to like the ability to predict the future. Everything that you're doing, you've already done, because it's already happened. Very yes and no. But like, if you think about it in that sense of like, the moment you experience something, it has already passed.
Yes.
So in that case,
it is passing.
Right. And so in that sense, you know, the idea of like the future being true present is essentially time all in one.
Yeah, like we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And when you can perceive things that way, or I mean, I say when you can perceive, but like I can't even truly perceive things that way. It's just how I'm thinking about it as a human being, yeah. Right? But the ability to truly perceive something that way would mean that you would know everything. As far as like what happens, right? Yeah. And I think the nugget of interest in there for me is just the idea that it's all already happened.
Because we're right now.
And it will be as it is.
And the future is already coming. We're already moving towards it and through it. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I completely agree that these things are, in the timelessness aspect, they have already happened. And so that's why it's like, as we continue to progress and come to as one using technology, like, let's take the example of, like, throwing a ball. Like, if I were to throw this bottle to you, you would already be making predictions of how to catch it. Reading into the future of, like, what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So now let's say, using neural networking and stuff, like, mm-hmm. let's say that, like, our brains are able to connect through computer,
mm-hmm.
and we're able to understand not just language, but feelings and emotions. And if I were to throw this bottle, not only would you understand it from my perspective and your perspective, but I would understand how you're responding to it. And let's say your neighbor is also, like, responding to it in some mm-hmm. way, you know. There's so many predictions that are happening. And so, like,
that's awesome. Why I love baseball.
Go on.
I mean, with very much connected to the very metaphor you just used, throwing an object, you know?
Oh, you're predicting
it's,
on
it's
how
all that, based on that, and it's yeah. like such a chess game based on that, and it's all the batter is predicting how that ball's going to move because he's trying to predict how you're going to throw it, and the pitcher's trying to predict how the batter's going to swing it. I fucking love
and
that
so
shit. Dude.
Let's imagine that, like, so right now it's humans doing those predictions, let's add technology. Like, let's say we put computers in our heads to be able to predict those things.
Do you want to do that?
Yes, I
you
do.
100%. So wait, are you down with the Neuralink thing?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, because I mean, like, imagine this. Imagine we're sitting here talking. Well, we're doing that, right? We're sitting here talking.
Yeah.
We can only understand each other to the degree of our own individual selves and our understanding.
Okay.
But imagine that we are linked together.
Mm-hmm.
You would know why everything. You would know how I'm feeling. We wouldn't even need language. You would just understand. We would just understand each other.
Right.
And so you wouldn't have any misunderstandings.
Right.
Like, you would instantly understand everything that I meant. And then you'd know why I was, like, having these blah, blah, blah. And that goes for both ways.
So the thing that makes me think of is, like, imagine if we were able to do that without technology, without a computer chip in our brains. What if we already have the capability of doing that?
Yeah.
And we just don't know how
yet. And we just haven't unlocked it.
Yeah. And so for me, the Neuralink thing, I think, is a very neat idea and very cool. But for me, it teeters on a slippery slope. You know what I mean? To have to, like, rely on something like that that you could potentially already have within. You know what I mean?
So
What are you doing if you're changing that makeup or whatever?
I think in that, though,
mm-hmm.
What I would, and again, I could be completely wrong, but right. I would think that would be the kickstart. And so, like, let's say you do have that internal ability,
yeah,
and then you add this other thing mm-hmm. that helps strengthen that ability. Eventually, who's to say that, like, it becomes absolutely a normal thing and that it just evolves into what to be human is?
Yeah, and I guess, you know, there's no reason to fear it or anything if it's coming from humans, and all things come from humans anyway.
So let's add it to this idea, like the color blue.
Yeah.
the color blue was one of the last colors to be perceived by humans. And and it wasn't until the idea of it came that people were finally able to, like, oh, this is blue, the sky is blue, the oceans are blue. And so now that Neuralink is a thing, again, more people are going to start coming into that evolution of, like, who's to say that we don't just evolve past that?
And yeah, Neuralink
is the starting idea.
So that actually made me think of two questions, which was the first one being where you said we didn't get the ability to perceive the color blue until the idea of blue as a thing came about. I guess that's a two-parter, because the first part is, because I don't know anything about, like, the human evolution of the eye and its ability to perceive colors and how long it took or whatever, but are you suggesting, like, the idea of, like, because we started thinking of it, our bodies evolved into that?
Kind of, in a way.
Okay.
And because we were exposed to it.
Yeah.
And so there's also the idea that, because we know that there's a further color scale.
Yeah,
right? And we only have what we can see
in
OGBIV.
Right.
There is still possibility that, let's say, in thousands of years, that we are able to see the next color.
Yeah. So then that brings me to that second question, or I guess not a question, but idea that, like, that I very recently popped into my head, which is, like, it seems so ludicrous to me now that it took this long to even think about, but, like, there's no way that the evolution of the human form is ended. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Right?
Yeah,
but like, isn't it, but we...
Everyone thinks that we're at
thinks,
our penultimate form.
Right?
But that, it's that,
but
we're at the penultimate.
Dude, 1,000 years from now, it is highly likely that we will look very different what we look, because we don't look the same as cavemen.
Yeah, I completely agree.
You know what I mean? And so why would it stop here?
Yeah.
It doesn't, right?
It's human ego and arrogance.
Yeah.
And again, I think that leads again back to religion, and that people think that this Bible.
Wait, so then does the form change because of the continual thoughts and the continual changing of perception and gaining of new perceptions and stuff?
It's
or perspective,
expanding.
I mean.
Yeah.
So then the form changes with that? Like, that's a real question I have. Is that, like, is that the catalyst of the change of the form?
You know what I mean? You know, I would
like, sort of the idea of, like, in the beginning there was the word, and, like, the idea of, like, the sound, everything is vibration, right?
Yeah.
It was the sound created the vibration, and, or no, the beginning was nothingness, and then there was a thought.
Yeah.
Like, that idea of spirituality and stuff?
And then just that thought causes everything else to
form right,
after that.
Through vibration, right? And so, like, imagine us really having, imagine our thoughts really having that kind of existential power, even though we can't see it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And that's where, like, whenever I hear someone being like, I am insignificant, like, I am just a speck in the universe.
Oh, I know, yeah.
It's like, no,
yeah,
like,
you're not
even,
at all.
Even if you think you are.
Yeah, right.
You are having an infinite amount of effect on right now and the future behind you that's coming after you.
Right.
You may not have an effect on all of the past when you weren't there, but you are now here, and anything that you do, every decision, even a wave of your hand through the air affects everything.
Yeah. Yeah, the fact that you're here is, like, extremely significant.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't know. There's no way to really explain the significance of a being's existence. It's that substantial. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. That's how I feel about it.
It goes back to, I think, what
regardless
we were
just talking
of how
about. Shitty you think your life is or whatever, or regardless how shitty someone's life even is, like, just,
it's
like,
important.
It's even, it goes into, like, just your classic Jesus teachings thing where he's like, you know, the least among you are the most blessed. You know, I say to you, even the least among you
the
are
meek.
Like kings in heaven.
Yes.
And it's a perspective that is very powerful once you do the best you can to try to grasp it.
And that's why, like, some people would hate me saying this, like, some religious, like, people, but, like, we are writing the next chapters of your religious text.
100%,
of your, man. Let's say you follow the Bible, the Quran, or the Torah. We are writing the next chapter
right
now.
Yeah, exactly.
And some people be like, no. Like, this is what I follow. This is what I believe.
So,
this is the book.
Right.
But it's like, no, it is unending. Like,
right.
They came and they started it off for us.
Right.
And they taught us what they knew at the time.
And where do you think that even came from?
Exactly. From whatever from came before
people it. Doing this.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. And guess what? There were millions of people back then, billions of people back then, that would not have these kinds of conversations because they were afraid of even thinking outside of what they were told.
Yeah.
And it's the same. It constantly goes up and down in a cycle like a fucking frequency, you know, in a spiral. It ebbs and flows, and this is just the next crest of that.
And then where conspiracy
where every
comes
moment
in,
is on that crest.
Yeah. Where conspiracy comes in, though, is now that we're able to come to these conclusions and these ideas, again, let's go back to that divide of the thesis and the antithesis. The people who are on top and the people that take advantage. Mm-hmm. The people who take advantage and the people being taken advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping that control would basically be dividing us from ever reaching that advancement.
Yeah, yeah.
And using, again, technology and psychology and manipulation.
Oh, yeah.
That is an absolute thing people in charge can do.
But see, that's what also kind of makes... I mean, if we want to get into the conspiracy aspect of it, that makes me nervous about the Neuralink thing, too. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
The ability... Because it's going to be corporations that control this.
Yeah.
So you got to... So that's why I'm like...
I would
rather just figure out how to do it on my own.
Yeah.
You know, and find my own inner power to connect with the cosmos and, you know, all that spiritual stuff that... Emerald tablets or whatever, you know, that's just been constantly repeated throughout every fucking religion. It all says the same fucking thing. You know, you are God.
Yeah.
Everything. Jesus says, I am you are me. Like, so if you think you're Christian and you think that believing in Jesus externally from you is being a Christian, you've got it, you know, it's not it. They're trying to tell you are it.
We are all funk. Yes.
Yeah.
And trying to explain that to some people... They just like, they're like, no, I am not God, I am just me. And it's like, yes, you are both. Like,
and that's where the twisting of the words comes in, and like the idea of like dark forces.
Yeah.
Where they're not really dark forces, they're just people that want control.
Of that, yes, exactly.
And so they tell you, you could not be God. However, look at me, the Pope. Well, I don't know.
Or any person.
Any religious person claiming to be of some higher significance to this external God going, I get to sit in these temples and tell and dictate to you what God is.
Yeah.
You are a meek, mere human mortal that could never conceive of this. Fuck that.
Yeah, but really, you're
fuck
both on
shit.
The same level.
Exactly.
It is all a perceptive belief.
Yeah.
But also, it is true, that power and control. Like, let's say that person has money in power, or like control the police, you don't have these godly powers as they do, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that God, you know, mm-hmm. like, or is that just control?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And so that is, it's a power of force. And that goes in the argument of like, what is good and bad, you know? Because good and bad are humanist beliefs,
right?
There is no good or bad
right,
in the
right,
universe.
Right.
Well, there is. But without humanity, in a way, there isn't. Because, like,
right.
As I always say when describing this, a meteor hitting a planet is not good or bad.
Right.
It would be bad if a meteor hit our planet
right.
and killed us all.
Right.
But in the whole aspect of everything...
To us. Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. But because that's how we perceive it.
Exactly.
And since that's how we perceive it, then... So it is, right?
Yeah.
Within this perspective, but this is just one fucking perspective of an entire existence experiencing itself.
Exactly.
You know?
And that's why...
And it's just as important as every other one. That's why you're so fucking... You are so significant.
Yes.
The fact that you're here and able to breathe and see and hear and touch and feel is a fucking amazing thing.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing, and it's hard as fuck.
Yeah.
It sucks
yeah.
a lot, and it's hard, but it is... So necessary and so beautiful and so worth it.
And I think it's like...
Because if you can have all at once, you're
it's a different
just
level of appreciation.
Going, you're just going to want to be able to have that individual experience once again.
Yes,
you know?
I agree. You're going to...
Or at least so you would think, right?
Or to humans, at
to
least.
Humans, at least, yeah.
Like, you're going to want to... just like, let's say that you have that access to watch the entire universe.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be sitting there like you're on YouTube, just living vicariously.
Yeah,
you
right.
know?
Exactly. But not actually doing it.
And that's where, like, so many people compare, like, God is not a human. And everyone's like, oh, if God exists, then why does he, again, he, but I would argue God is a they, why would they allow bad things to happen?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, because this thing that God is does not good or bad is our values,
yeah,
not theirs.
Right,
you know,
right.
Like, these things need to happen for us to evolve.
Well, and also you could say there's, like, a learning of, like, because of that perspective that is what we call so human, of saying, oh, that, I don't like that thing happening, I call it bad.
Yeah.
I do like this thing happening, I call it good. That could just be a learning of that, like of God experiencing itself.
Yes.
To God experience itself, it just wants to experience good or bad.
Yes.
But it learns what it likes and doesn't like, but it all needs to happen.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, but also fortunately.
Exactly. Right. Because if it didn't happen, then we wouldn't be where we are today, you know?
Well, like, and, well...
Or tomorrow.
Yeah, and if... I don't think it's possible for it... I don't think it not happening is even a possibility. Like,
yeah.
There is light, and then there's not light.
Yeah.
You know? And so if you're in the light, you are experiencing it. If you're not, you're in the space between.
Yeah.
You know?
And...
Sort of. I don't know.
It's kind of like when you're learning to walk. If you never fell down when you were learning to walk, then you probably would, like... It'd be different, you know? Because you're trying to stay up so you don't fall down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so by falling down, you learn how to keep staying up.
Right. Yeah.
And so it's a necessity.
Right.
For bad things to happen.
Yeah.
And it's very unfortunate, but it teaches others.
And it sucks. And it's hard.
Another example would be suicide.
Mm.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Some people take that in their own hands. But, like, that's... Let's say someone does commit suicide. It teaches others to what they're going to do next. It influences them. They're like, oh, man, I will never do that, you know, because I see yada, yada, yada. Again, I can't give examples because everything is completely different. But it goes into the aspect of this, of, like, why they say suicide is such a sin, because when you cut off that experience, you are ending that experience of the universe. You're no longer teaching
the experience of that one specific one.
It's like to be you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, but you also still are, because you made the now you have done this, and your influence is that.
Right.
The universe knows what it is like for you to have expired.
And like what you were saying about, like, why they, in within religion, they call it a sin, that's like the key to it right there as far as, like, good and bad. Because in the grand scheme of things, in the grand scheme of existence, you know, to decide to do that isn't necessarily, it doesn't make the person doing it a bad person, you know. You get what...
You're no longer here to serve God.
Well, no, they call it bad because, or I should say within religion it's called bad, or like a sin or whatever, because it's like, how dare you play the role of God, and that they try to cast all this shame on you. And like, we got to stop judging each other, and we got to get off of our fucking high horses and stop casting shame on other people for what they do, because it's fucking hard for everyone here.
We need to yes and.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, say someone you love killed themselves. It's very painful, and it's very... Or say you yourself kill yourself. It's a very hurtful thing, and it's very scary and frightening, but it doesn't mean that you yourself are a bad person or that you've necessarily done a bad thing. It just means you've done something.
Yeah.
And then the consequences come after that, be they good or bad. But it all has an effect, and it all has a purpose, and it all has a point.
Yeah.
In the experience.
Because there are some cultures where suicide is exalted.
Right, yeah.
It is the thing to do.
Right.
You know, like...
And, well, there's a lot of cultures that, like, you know, celebrate even natural death. And because, you know, they would... Had an understanding of, like, this isn't where it ends. You're going to move on. And so let's heighten your vibration and make you happy as you move on to the next frequency of yourself. As move on as your next ray of light, if it were, with all of this extra information, and become and manifest into this other form, you know, whatever it may be. It could be a fucking alien.
And see,
you
know, where that comes in, and where I talked to Jacob about this as well, is that, like, I think death is just us. And so, like, when they say reincarnation and everything, death is kind of just us transferring our energy into other things.
Yeah.
So, like, right now, we are both transferring ourselves into each other.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so when we pass, our material bodies are still here.
Yeah.
We're no longer consciously connecting,
right.
But the atoms that constructed us
mm-hmm.
are now dissolving into the universe.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to decompose into the Earth or mm-hmm. however we are, whatever, you
mm-hmm.
know. And those atoms are going to transform forever,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so then eventually we become a tree. And then eventually that tree becomes a fruit. And then that fruit is eaten by a bird. And then we become the animals in that
right.
bird. We are forever transferred, and so
right.
that is where we are reincarnated.
Isn't it like a scientific thing that energy doesn't die or something
yeah,
like that?
Energy is never destroyed. It's only
it's never destroyed. It's only transferred, right?
Yeah.
So why would it be, you know, like, you know, apply that simple principle to, like, why would it be any different for our death?
Exactly.
You know, and it's just fun to think about and free, man. But I just gotta say, dude, I love this, man. I love that, like, everyone has their ideas on it, and there's so much value in each and every person's ideas about it. And I spent a lot of time thinking that I was like you think of these things and then you just want to share it with everyone,
mm-hmm.
you know, but really what I'm finding is that, and this is actually through the help of Ash, because me and her talk about this shit all night. We'll go all night talking about this shit. And I'll start proselytizing because I'm so excited about what these ideas, and I'll be like, it's like this, it's like this. And then she'll have to remind me, like okay, I get that you're excited about it, but you're not here to tell other people what it is. You're just here to have the thoughts, share them, and hear theirs, more importantly.
Yeah.
And, like, so I'm, like, I just want to say thank you for having me be a part of this. I don't even know if this is the end of it or whatever, but I just wanted to say thank you for having me be a part of this, because it's just so fucking great to get to bounce ideas and then get, like, the expanse of the idea come back at you
yeah.
from the other perspective, man. I just love that shit.
I think these are the most important parts of life.
Yeah.
And they don't happen enough. Because,
yeah.
like, when you try to have these moments, and that's why I really enjoy these podcasts, because, like, when you try to do this in a normal day-to-day atmosphere,
mm-hmm.
normally it's shut down because
man,
people are busy
right.
or talking about other things or
right.
don't even want to talk about it right,
right
now. But, like, once you finally do, it's almost therapeutic.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so it, and again, arguing that, like, the universe led us here to have this moment.
Yeah.
I mean, here we are as proof.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
again,
right.
I mentioned it earlier, the theoretical Big Bang happened, X amount of time passed, and we are right here today.
Yeah, right, I know. It's fucking crazy.
It was inevitable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I think that there's so much importance to that. And then, like, once you start to, again, learn these patterns,
mm-hmm.
They become more prominent. And once
mm-hmm.
you're able to, like, decide where these patterns go, it's just like a computer making a decision. You
yeah,
know? Like,
right.
And, again, with technology, I think these decisions and these, like, crazy funk coincidences
mm-hmm.
are happening more and more every day.
Absolutely.
Know?
Certainly certainly the world's smaller than it's ever been, right?
Yeah.
You know, the interconnectedness. It's, you know, just, I guess, a matter of, like, how we can utilize these technologies for you know, healthy growth.
Yeah,
for one another, like, through a medium like this very podcast that you beautifully had got the idea of to do, and then now we're having this discussion in this microphone, and now we'll be out there on the internet forever.
Yeah,
in theory.
Yeah,
for anyone throughout time to listen to, and as time would work, they would be currently listening to it right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
in their space and time.
Yeah,
know? And it's just so fun. It's cool, man. It's
and
so
the hopes is
cool.
that.
More of that with technology is kind of what I'm saying.
Because, yeah.
you know, we see the foils of social media and how it can go wrong and lead
that
people
right
to
there.
Hating each other and shit.
Exactly.
But it can also be used for shit like this.
Yeah. And so how
you
do
know?
We continue to escape that thesis of
yeah.
control
Ooh.
Without, again, ending up another thesis
yeah,
antithesis?
Dude. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
How do we reach eternal synthesis? And I think that is the chase of the Holy Mountain mm-hmm. or enlightenment.
Yeah.
Again, man, I can't wait to see that movie with you. Like, I wish we had
Ooh,
seen it before
yeah.
this.
Okay, yeah.
To talk about.
Well, maybe it'll be better.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll enjoy the movie even more now.
Yeah.
After this discussion, you know.
I really think you're going to enjoy it.
Hell yeah, man. And Chase is down, too.
Oh, good.
He said he hadn't heard of it, but he was like, he's down. He's excited by it.
It is one of those movies that, like, after you see it, it's like, I recommend it to everyone. It's
wow,
like, you
cool,
just
got
to see this movie.
Cool.
It's just so different.
Yeah.
And, like, there's it's one of those that, like, you don't know how anyone's going to respond or react to it because, like, yeah. it's such a metaphorical art piece, you know, and, like, awesome. Literally every shot is just, like, full of symbolism awesome. And art, and it's just,
dude,
like...
hell yeah. I'm all about crazy. That, man. Yeah, hell yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man.
So, we still got some time.
Okay.
Or we can cut it whenever, but, I guess a broad question would be, like, what is on your mind right now? What is life telling you to think about in a way, or directly?
Well, funnily enough, this, man. This very thing that we're discussing. That's why I was, like, super, like, when we talked about it at our bar there, and you, like, brought it up that you had a podcast about this, I was like, dude, I want to be on that.
Yeah.
Because that's all I've been doing, man. I've right now, currently, and take... this for whatever it means to whoever's listening, but I'm currently in the 33rd year of my life, right? The symbology there. And I kind of had this like feeling that it was going to be a big one for my perceptual growth and mm-hmm. or just a big one in some way. I don't know. I just had this inner feeling that it would be a big one in some way having to do with some kind of growth or movement, whatever it is. And you know, sure enough, it's been in the midst of multiple lockdowns, pandemic ongoing, where I have been forced to just kind of be on this kind of a journey of, or search for as much knowledge I can get about existence that I can. And so that's all I'm doing, dude. I'm just like watching all these fucking videos about all this shit. It started with like manifestation videos. Is it possible to manifest what you want with the power of your word? And you know, so I went down this Neville Goddard rabbit hole, who I still love to listen to. My definitions or my thoughts on that idea have changed, because a lot of people like go to that thinking that it's about like, or I mean, and certainly myself thinking that it's about like, yeah, manifest your dream life right now. But when it comes down to that, you have to consider two things. First of all, who are you? Define that. And secondly, what does it mean to want something? Yeah. Right?
And it takes time.
Right. And so it goes into this, like, be careful what you wish for thing.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you can manifest anything you want, but some things you'll manifest in darkness without knowing who you are.
Yeah.
Some things you'll manifest in light, the things you truly want, but you can't know that until you really find that out.
Yeah.
And so all the things you manifest in darkness, the things your desires, the things you think you want, a big house, a car, whatever, if that is truly what is like for you or whatever and can be manifested in a way that is loving and truly peaceful to yourself and giving to those around you and adjacent to you or wherever, then all the things, if it can be manifested in light, the light will come with it. If it's manifested in darkness, in desire and unknowing, the darkness will come with it. So, you know, that kind of thing. Anyway, so I've just been going all down all these fucking rabbit holes, dude, that have just been leading me on these, like, twists and turns of journey of knowledge, and hopefully knowledge will turn into wisdom kind of thing, you
and
know?
And it's as I will say many times, and so many people have heard it since I was connected with the funk, but the funk provides.
Yeah.
And literally, like, as example, you were searching all these things, and suddenly we're connected.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that is more than coincidence.
Yeah.
I believe that is the funk providing.
100%.
And just like you were saying, like, when going into manifestation and stuff, it's like, you're not just manifesting, like, I want this big house, I want this blah, blah, blah. Because you're not always going to get what you want.
Right.
But when you start connecting with these things and mm-hmm. working towards them,
yeah.
the funk provides.
Yeah, right.
Whether achieved or not,
yeah.
it will provide something.
Exactly.
It will provide a conclusion. Or I can't say conclusion because it's not over.
Yeah,
but it will
exactly.
provide the next steps. It's
right.
always leading a path
yeah.
somewhere and connecting you interconnectedly.
Yep.
And again, like, the more that I see these patterns, the more that you recognize them. It's just mm-hmm. like, when you're doing when you do puzzles or when you go work out, like let's say you're working out and you're building up strength, mm-hmm. it's the same thing. If mm-hmm. you build up the strength of your brain to see these patterns, mm. you learn how to do it.
Mm.
And I think that's yeah. where it starts, what we were talking about on like how to connect that funk
right.
between us. And I think just by me doing it and by us doing it now, mm-hmm. it is affecting the future.
Yeah.
And, oh, yeah. Yeah. And so I think that like it is an interconnected thing that like is... We are in this, like, crazy change.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just... I don't know how to explain it. Because, like, now I want to talk about, like, the connection that I made with the funk.
Mm.
Because, like, it's such
Yeah, go for it.
And so, like, this is where it gets weird. Because a lot of people are going to be like, oh, that is just your own perception and blah, blah,
of course.
But, like, so one night I was meditating, right? Uh-huh. And suddenly, like, it's almost, I can't describe it. It's like visions, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, but it's not visions. It was like, it's like I was just thinking, but then also everything that I was thinking was being almost given an answer.
Whoa.
Right? And even when I was, like, coming to kind of a halt, I would open my eyes and I would look at my computer and the answer would literally be right there. Or the song that was playing would say the thing that I needed. Like, almost instantaneously. Whoa.
And it was in the, like, in the physical world.
Yes. Whoa, it was like literally the universe was connecting
directly
yeah. Right, to me and right, feeding me right. these answers. And it was telling me, like, and I can't even say telling me. It was because
yeah.
it was me
thinking
all these things. But like basically it was like it was guiding me that like what was going to happen next.
Mm.
It was like you are going to do these things
mm.
and people are going to have reactions to them,
mm.
but you can't. Yeah. You're already in it, and
again,
like we talked about, the future has already happened.
Yeah.
So it's like you have already done these things.
Right.
You are going to do these things. Do not be afraid.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and it was just it was, and by me saying this, a lot of people are going to be like, oh, you know, like you're crazy. Like it's kind of like if let's say that like God, who was it that talked to the burning bush? You know,
Moses. Yeah, yeah.
Imagine Moses coming up to you and being like, I experienced this thing.
Yeah.
Are you actually going to believe that?
Yeah,
you
know right, what I right. mean? Yeah.
And so it's me trying to explain this crazy phenomenon
uh-huh.
that happened to me while meditating. That because, like, it wasn't just, like, something that just happened. I had also been, like, throughout years, like, with Drawbook and meeting all thousands of these people,
mm-hmm.
I had been working up to this goal of trying to explain the universe and trying to change the world through... How, like, if I can do these things, how do I branch out and describe, like, how can we reach the next level?
You know, yeah, whatever. Right, exactly, yeah.
And literally that night, it just, like, everything just made sense. Everything was just like, holy shit, the funk, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and it again, it the way I can only describe it is that it revealed itself to me.
Yeah, very cool.
And just, it's... I guess the word is teleology, of, like, trying to explain a phenomenon.
Oh, okay.
Or phenomenology as well. But, like, just that, it's like, I'm now on this path of trying to describe kind of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, like, I'm seeing the more that I continue this path, the more that people understand it.
Yeah.
So, like, when I first had that experience, and I was trying to talk about it with people...
It was hard, right?
It was hard.
I think I was there for that.
People were, like...
Was it when you were first posting your dissertations
yes,
about it and stuff?
Exactly.
Okay, yeah,
that's
yeah.
When it, that
no,
it,
yeah, and it told, I remember it.
It basically was like, write this down. It was
you were,
like,
you were very, very excited about
yes.
it.
Yes.
Yeah, and I do remember it being hard for you to, like...
Communicate
it. Well, because people didn't even give a shit.
That,
yeah.
right there.
People because were, they didn't even know.
They were dismissing it, and they were being like, Sean, you... People thought I was being manic. Like, people thought
right,
I was having
right.
a manic episode.
Right, right, right.
And it was so
Which
difficult.
Which could certainly seem that way to someone that isn't thinking about that kind of shit.
Exactly. Right. And it was very difficult for me to just be like, I'm completely calm. I'm completely mm-hmm. of stable mind and stuff. It's mm-hmm. just I'm so excited of this thing that is I'm finally able to explain in a better way, you know,
mm-hmm.
that, like, again, let's go back to the Moses thing. Like, let's say this crazy thing happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just, like, trying to, like, be like, wow, this thing happened to me.
Yeah,
you're excited
yeah.
to, like, talk
right,
about it, right?
right?
That, it was that experience. Mm-hmm. And, like, I was just trying to explain what was happening. And so many people were just like, you need to calm down. Like,
sure, sure, yeah.
But then, like, once I was, as time passed in these, like, I think it's been, like, 3 years since that, the night of.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Literally, these moments happen more often.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, now I can described and sit down, and people are like, oh, I understand what you mean.
So then, I guess, has it become easier to explain with words the more you act on it first and that kind of thing? By doing, it becomes easier to explain?
Kind of both, yeah.
Sort of. I love how... I think meditation is the next step for me, man. Because I have not ever tried it, but the more and more I go down these rabbit holes, the more and more I'm like, dude, I gotta do that shit. And like, I love how you were saying, describe, like, the only real way you could describe what you were just trying to describe to me right now was by saying, I revealed it to myself.
Yeah.
I love that shit, because I really think there's a big key to that. For me, that's kind of where my thought process is. There's a huge key to that. That it is... Like, it goes into, like, you are not separate from the source of God.
It was essentially...
You are the same fucking thing. You are a part of it. And you can reveal these things to yourself, but it's only you that can do it.
Yeah.
It's not someone on the outside of you that... People, external forces and external sources can lead you down paths, but it is ultimately going to be you that reveals it to yourself.
Exactly.
Sort of
and
deal.
And you were the one experiencing this perspective. It was kind of like a... What are those dreams called when you're able to control it?
Lucid.
Lucid dreaming.
Yeah.
It was kind of like that, except I wasn't dreaming.
I was just
meditating and thinking.
Yeah, yeah.
And like literally like... I haven't really been able to do it since that night, but like... It was almost as if... I felt like I had opened a third eye.
Whoa.
Like,
yeah.
I was able to...
You tapped
like,
in.
I was able to... So normally when I close my eyes and I'm meditating and thinking, it's mostly blackness, you know. Like,
yeah,
of course.
But
like,
yeah,
I see like kind of thoughts. You
and isn't
know,
that
and
like sort of the point of it is to like allow it to be the blackness sort of thing? Yeah, yeah.
To be present and be with the universe. But like this time, literally it was like showing me like the geometries of the universe. And
holy
like guiding
shit,
me down
dude.
Paths. And it was just like, it was both sounds and feelings and memories. And just
whoa.
Like, it was again, it was just like I had connected with like, the everything.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I know
were you
that
seeing like the flower of life and that kind of shit?
Kind of. And I know, again, like to some people that'd be like, oh, you had this crazy episode or you had a schizophrenic episode.
And you know
what, like
and you know what, man? They're not wrong.
Yeah.
That's just the way they're experiencing what you experienced through you telling them. And if they're not even interested or even thinking about it, then of course they're going to meet it like that.
Exactly.
And it doesn't mean you're doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean you're manic and it doesn't mean you're crazy.
Yeah.
It just means that you're sharing something and it's being met a certain way.
Yeah.
And that's it. And you can't be afraid of how it's going to be met, right?
That's what it kind of told me.
Yeah.
And it was like...
Fucking awesome, dude.
They're like, people are going to dismiss it. They're going to think of you as crazy. Like,
right.
You could even be murdered for these things.
But again, it's all... That is said in all... Jesus said that shit.
Yeah.
People will persecute you.
Yeah.
You know, every fucking religion says of some version of that.
Yeah.
Of that very thing. Once you find the light and you seek the light, you find the light, and you try to... share the light, you'll be persecuted for it.
Mm-hmm.
People won't understand because not everyone is doing that sort of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And so my goal...
And I say persecuted in quotes, you know, like
persecution
meaning like you'll be blown off or whatever, you know.
And so my goal essentially is to like, how do I bridge that communication of, without being in my own personal bias of like, because like I essentially want to be wrong. In a way.
Yeah.
Like, I want to find what's next, like, scientifically.
Mm.
Like, that's what I'm trying to go for.
Yeah.
And philosophically, it's like, I'm not done yet. Like,
right. Oh,
this is not set in stone. Like,
right.
I want to be able to explain what happened and everything that happened and what is next. Like,
right.
Let's talk about these things and discuss it. And that's where we are right now.
Yeah.
And it's insane.
Yeah. And beautiful.
And beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we got 6 minutes. Anything to say? How do you feel about what I said? Like, what was your first instinctual thought and everything? Like,
when you were first coming out with the funk?
Yeah, about that experience. Again,
I was like, this guy is on to something, and I was already like, kind of there, but not fully on that. Definitely not as far into it as I am now, right? But I was, my mind, like I said, like, I've always had, like, a sort of search for spirituality and what it is my whole life. It's always been kind of a guiding light, but I've never really thrown myself towards that, you know, as fully as I have now. And so, like, when you were doing it, I was, like, on the wavelength with you. I was like, okay, this guy's onto something here. And I found it fascinating and super interesting, and I wanted to be able to take in your perspective on it as much as possible, but I also at the same time wasn't able to even begin discerning or comprehending all of it.
Yeah.
Because you were coming out so much at once. And I just remember being like, I want to dig into that within my own natural time.
And also, it wasn't quite ready yet, because there was that time when it was like I was pushing it all out. I was like trying to get it out so that it would be saved.
I wasn't even talking about waiting for your shit to be ready. I was just like waiting for myself to be ready to take it on, you know, that kind of thing.
So both ways. But I thought
it was like super fucking cool, and I wished I had like all the time in the world to just sit there and pick your brain on it. But I didn't, right? Yeah. And especially back then, pre-pandemic, everything was moving so fast and everyone had something to do and somewhere to go. So I was like, man, I would really love to have the time to do that. I hope I do get that time eventually. Well, here we are.
It's like, even then, like, had you had the time then, I think now is the better present.
Ooh, sure.
Because we both understand it more. So, like,
I
was trying to get it all out, and now what I'm trying to do is go back through it and edit it with further understanding. You know?
Yeah.
And I'm going through some things and I'm like, okay, this kind of doesn't make sense. But I was also, I didn't understand you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I didn't have the full understanding. I was shown a comprehension of it.
Yeah.
And so now I'm going through it and re-editing that comprehension.
Yeah.
Just like, this is what I now have further knowledge
about. Sure, yeah. We're forging it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so like, it really was and has been an experience and still is.
Yeah.
But it's crazy to think that like it's evolving and I see more people understanding it again right now.
And isn't it even crazier that like you get to these points on like your journey for truth or your search for truth and shit to where you're like you'll like watch a video or you'll have some kind of inner realization and then you'll go, wow, that blew my mind. That has to be it. There's no way I could learn anymore. But then you keep thinking about it, and you're like, well, wait, on top of that, then this.
Yeah.
Like, and then it's like, it never fucking ends,
and
dude.
It never will.
And it never will, right? Yeah. And that's like the point. And so I guess my answer to what is the meaning of life is this whole entire discussion. Yeah. to bring it all back.
Yeah, to bring that back.
Yeah, there's my
circle.
Answer, Sean. There's
Hell
my
yeah,
answer.
Dude.
Yeah.
That's nice. Well, Bryce, dude, thanks for being on, man.
Dude, grateful.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where can people find you? Follow you? Plug you?
Okay, yeah, so if you want to, I make music. Currently, you can follow, or you can listen to my music at, on Spotify, iTunes, anywhere you stream music at the, if you just search The Demons, it's spelled D-E-A-M-I-N-S. And then also, I have music from the past, from my past band, Jody Seabody and the Whirls, that's out there everywhere. And then you can also hear me on The Movie Gap, a podcast I do with a good buddy, Chase Austin, that I've known since high school, where we discuss movies that I haven't seen yet that I should have seen a long time ago, apparently, according to society. we have a fun time doing that. And you can follow us anywhere at The Demons, at The Movie Gap, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, everywhere. And if you, for support or whatever, if you like what you hear, you can support me on Bandcamp. If you just search The Demons, D-E-A-M-I-N-S on Bandcamp, you can buy a track for however much you want or something like that, or buy the whole EP if you want, whatever, for whatever you want.
A dollar.
I think the minimum Bandcamp makes the $200. I think Bandcamp makes the minimum $1, but I would take a cent.
Yeah.
I'd be grateful for even a cent. I'm actually honestly grateful for a second of your time being spent considering anything that I've put out.
Yeah.
I think that's the coolest. That's what I'm most grateful for.
And then also, y'all, I should have said this on the others, Bandcamp Fridays. If you music on Friday, then all the music comes to us directly.
That's right.
Rather than like being taxed and going to Bandcamp.
Yep.
So thank you to Bandcamp for that.
Yeah, for real. Really cool.
Well, Bryce, again, thank you for being on. Thank you for being on all the podcasts.
Pleasure's all mine, Sean. Yeah. Thank you so much, man. This was a fucking fun-ass day of podcasting.
I really enjoyed it.
Hell yeah.
All right, y'all. Well, thanks for listening. Love y'all, and take care.
Love you.